Today on The Dark Side of the Gabby Petito Case, Hunt for a Murderer. Ryan Landry flew home to Florida on August 17th in the latest Gabby Petito case twist. Also, a doctor says it's very unusual for the FBI to hold the victim's remains. Ryan Landry's story with the cops and body cam footage shows Gabby's injuries. The police may have been covering it up.
Sometimes the human mind goes to dark places. Sometimes those dark delusions turn into a reality. A reality so shaded and gray, once all is said and done, the healthy mind is drawn into the documented retelling of these tragic events, trying to find logic, reason, and understanding where there may be none at all. This is The Dark Side of.
And we're continuing along kind of our weekly following of the Gabby Petito case on today's episode of the program. Lots of new things as this case just continues to unfold. Recording date of this one, October 6th. It's dropping a few days after that. But this is what we know as of right now. If you like our program, you can support us through Patreon, patreon.com. Just search Dark Side of or go to our website, darksidepod.com. And it'll take you right there to the Patreon page where you can get access to all of our episodes in their entirety, all commercial free, final chapter segments, bonus stuff. It's all there, and advanced episodes as well. So please do check that out. Tony and Sean with you on today's episode of the show. How much have you been paying attention to the case since the last time we talked about it?
Since we last chatted about it, not so much, because there's really not been more to find. It was
front page news.
We'll just talk about the weather.
It's getting, it's one of those cases, you know, right when it broke, it was front page news. And now it's kind of one of those, it's like, you got to dig a little bit, but the stories are still there. I guess they find Brian. I think a lot of stuff is going to be, you know, everybody's on to the next new horrible thing.
But I'm curious about police covering up. That is news to me. Please elaborate.
Yeah, that's an interesting part to the story. It shows that this is according to the U.S. Sun. The damning footage, Brian Landry, cops tried to cover up damning body cam footage that showed Gabby Petito's injuries, leaked email suggests. That's according to The Sun. Cops have been accused of covering up body cam footage, which saw a sobbing Gabby Petito revealing her injuries to officers after a bust up with her fiance. Because remember, there's that footage out there, and I think what we saw initially was her kind of standing outside the vehicle crying and I'm having a bad day and this and that. And eventually they're kind of like, okay, go back. You should be all good. Or they give him like one went to a hotel room and one stayed in the car. And then the next day it's like, okay, you guys figure out your shit. Now there's some more information coming out. A leaked email suggests Moab Police Department were withholding damning footage taken weeks before Gabby was found dead as the police department came under fire for not doing more to protect the doomed hiker. On September 16th, Officer Daniel Robbins' body cam footage was released showing the moment Gabby and Brian were pulled over by cops after witnesses reported the couple fighting in the street. But further body cam footage from a second officer, Eric Pratt, wasn't released until 2 weeks later, KUTV reports, and shows details of how cops handled the incident before deciding not to charge the pair. The footage, which cops failed to release despite media requests, reveals Gabby had injuries to her neck and face and later shows her acute anxiety at being separated from Brian. Through the footage, the cops can be heard discussing how they can allow the pair to go on their way despite claims that there were clear signs Gabby may have been in danger and been abused by her partner. The two officers were seen laughing and joking with Brian Landry before telling him, "We feel bad for you," despite Gabby sobbing in the back of the cop car. Happy Morgan, a lawyer who served as Grand County Attorney for 8 years, criticized the police department's handling of the case in an email which read, "The sooner you come clean about Pratt's body camera for the August 12th Petito Landry matter, the better. If it was withheld, you need to provide it and apologize." Speaking during a council meeting, the lawyer, Happy Morgan, also said, "It became obvious to me watching the news that information had been withheld from the media." Moab Police Acting Chief Brandon Palmer claimed that too many media requests had been submitted, causing the delay, but admitted that the progress should have occurred more timely. In the haunting clip Landry's fiance, Gabby Petito, told officers that Landry had grabbed her face and left a burning gash on her cheek and red marks on her arm. The cop asked the vlogger, "Did he hit you, though? I mean, it's okay if you're saying you hit him. I understand if he hit you, but we want to know if the truth, if he actually hit you." Gabby replied, I guess, yeah, but I hit him first. He let Gabby my face, like, I guess. He didn't, like, hit me in the face. He didn't punch me in the face. Well, he, like, grabbed me, like, with his nail. I guess that's why it hurts. I definitely have a cut, like, I can feel it. The footage also appeared to show Landry handing cops two cell phones despite telling cops that they had no phones. Landry said that he was phoneless and feared he would be without the means to communicate as he and Petito were separated for the night. The cops can then be heard discussing the incident and whether the row should be classed as domestic violence case, despite saying that the abuse victims ended up getting killed. Cops Robbins and Pratt go on to release Gabby and Landry, separating them for the night, with a 23-year-old Brian being told that he should check into a motel room while Gabby should stay in the van. Less than 2 weeks after the encounter at the Moab roadside, Gabby was seen alive for the last time in Wyoming, sometime around August 27th in Jackson Hole. Bright then quietly returned home to Florida alone September 1st, failing to alert police or Gabby's family that she was missing. So I'm going to say this. The cops fucked up pretty good.
Oh, I feel sorry for you. You know, those nagging girlfriends who you live in a van with for 4 months. Oh, my goodness. How annoying must that be?
Really? Yeah.
Look at her. Yeah. Oh, boy.
I tell you, you watch the footage and what you see there, I don't know any other way to describe it than other than, I mean, these are young officers for the most part, but they're kind of like doing the old boys club type shit. Like, oh, yeah, looks like she's pretty upset. You know, they didn't say that verbatim, but that's kind of the attitude. It's like, and he comes over, "Hi, what's up? How can I help?" And she's sobbing with bruises. and it's like, okay, I mean, what this ultimately comes down to is lack of training with officers. You know, I'm guessing, you know, I don't believe the officer, you know, thought in his mind that she's going to go get killed. But at the same point, he should have. It should have gone through his mind. This is a possibility. This is awkward. This is not safe. We need to do something here and not just, you know, blow it off and move on to the next thing because we got other shit to do.
We talked about last time is you do that and put the curiosity card on and more of a your whodunit, if you will. If you factor in every stop that involves a relationship where they're having an argument. What's interesting is this body cam footage and injuries, actual physical injuries to Gabby. It's one thing if they're just in a spat because she was pissed about what Instagram picture of the 42 they took that they ended up posting to their account. That's one thing. But now we're factoring in actual physical injuries. Why was that? Why was a magnifying glass not put on that more?
Well, they're telling because I think it was because she said that I hit him first. So I guess that makes it all okay, which is totally fucked up. It's like if there's physical violence going on back and forth, it doesn't fucking matter. This is not a good situation for these two to be in. And to just walk away from it is just, I mean, ultimately by law, probably, I don't know if one of them has to press charges against the other for it to go anywhere. But I mean, here's another thing that I find kind of odd. It's like, you, sir, you go get the hotel room. Bitch, sleep in the van. It's just like, what? I mean, they didn't say bitch, sleep in the van, but they might as well have. It's just like, what is going on here? And I'm sorry, the bro, guess what it felt like? It was like, hey, bro, what happened? You know, oh, okay, yeah, I feel bad for you. That's how it felt. It felt like two dumbass guys with little to no insight into mental health awareness whatsoever, just kind of doing their thing. I think that's one of the biggest flaws that we have with our law enforcement is, you know, there's not a lot of mental health training that goes on. And the thing is, most of the shit that law enforcement deals with ultimately comes down to a mental health issue.
if you really look at it, when you look at the core of most of the problems that we face that involve law enforcement, you're dealing with, they are dealing directly with someone with a mental health issue. And a lot of that doesn't go into too far in depth in training. I mean, I've heard many officers complain that they're shocked by the, you know, the kind of lack of training in these areas when they kind of get put out there into the streets. And it's like, and then we're supposed to deal with these things on our best judgment. And some people have better judgment than others. But then you're kind of like just kind of doing luck of the draw. If you get the more experienced officer that's been on the streets for longer and has gone through some of this shit better, you're probably going to have a more appropriate response and a response that's going to be right for the situation. But when you get the guy who's just out of academy and, you know, fairly new to life as a young man, probably not going to be that insightful on how to handle this sort of shit. And if we're going to put somebody out there with that power, maybe they should be trained in it a little bit better.
I think it's definitely something evolving, and they're putting more mental health training into play. But again, not to sweep this under the rug and not to give any blame where blame is definitely due. You have experts that are trained mental health professionals, therapists, medical professionals on one side of the aisle. And then you have law enforcement on the other. You have your trained specific for decades. You have the hostage negotiator, where there's the one person of hundreds on a police force. Where you have to bring in the one person. So again, this is definitely something that something more should have been done. But really what I'd like to think is when you want to change everything, every local police department nationwide, worldwide, I would presume that some police or sheriff operations, should this have occurred, would have been able to help and deal with it in a more proactive, forward-thinking approach, opposed to the old bro, you good.
I'm thinking, you know, the way that some police forces are, you know, militarily armored now, where it's like literally war equipment that they have in their disposal. And I'm sure there's a lot of training on that shit and how to use it. And I'm sure it's probably fun and enjoyable to train with that sort of shit. But maybe we take a little less time on the war machines, because I'm thinking you probably would use your mental health skills on more of a daily basis versus taking the tank out and using that, other than when you're taking it down for the parade that everybody can cheer for, that we got a fucking tank, because God knows every fucking small town needs a fucking tank. And maybe more like, how do we deal with the people on a human level rather than, you know, treating them like armed combatants in Iraq or something like that? Because I feel like we've kind of gone down that road a little bit more than we have on how do we deal with human beings who are dealing with stress and anxiety and depression and every other fucking thing that's out there. And all that just continues to get swept under the rug, and we continue to pretend that mental health isn't a thing. And look at where we're at. You know, it's just fucked up. It just, to me, like, these are obvious fucking things, and, you know, nothing gets done.
It's a two-headed monster, and you have one hand. So what are you going to attack
first? I feel like they chopped off the hand, quite honestly, in many cases. I feel like it's like two-headed monster. We got one hand. Fuck that. Cut off that hand. Let's go do this. What? Just use the foot. What? Yeah, that's what we're going to do. It's fucked up. And some interesting information that has come out on the case. Brian Landry flew home to Florida on August 17th in latest Gabby Petito case twist. Apparently, he flew home to Florida to get supplies and close out a rented storage unit days after his infamous fight with Gabby Petito in Utah, then rejoined her just before she vanished. His family lawyer says the lawyer, Stephen Bartolino, revealed the twist in the case's timeline to the Post. This is from the New York Post on Tuesday, saying Brian returned to his parents' home in Northport August 17th, then flew back to Salt Lake City on August 23rd to rejoin Petito. Brian flew home to obtain some items and empty and close the storage unit to save money, as he and Petito contemplated extending the road trip. Oh, when things are stressful and going shitty, are you really contemplating extending the road trip? To my knowledge, Brian and Gabby paid for the flight as they were sharing expenses. Brian's brief journey home would have come after his and Petito's August 12th fight in Utah, which involved cops. Landry, 23, then flew back to rejoin Petito, a 22-year-old Long Island native, in Utah on August 23rd, 4 days before she was last seen. Cassie Landry, Landry's sister, had claimed Monday that her 23-year-old brother made the trip back to Florida mid-August. Witnesses have reported spotting Brian and Petito at a Wyoming restaurant August 27th, the last day Petito was seen alive. Landry then showed up at his parents' home in Florida alone with her van September 1st and went camping with his mom, dad, and sister at the Fort DeSoto campground until September 7th, the family lawyer said. Landry was reported missing by his parents September 17th. His parents told cops he went for a hike 3 days earlier and disappeared. Petito's body was found September 19th at a remote campsite at the Tenton Bridger National Forest in Wyoming, with a coroner later declaring the death a homicide. Landry, the sole person of interest in the case, now the suspect of a massive manhunt by the FBI. The revelation that Landry flew home in mid-August suggests that Landry and Petito separated at some point after they were spotted by police in Moab, Utah, August 12th, and questioned over reports of a domestic violence incident and then reunited. Cops in Moab did not file criminal charges against either Landry or Petito, but separated them for the night, taking him to a local hotel and leaving her with the van. I just come back to that. Let's go to the hotel, bro. Let's have a beer. Bitch, stay in the van. Petito, 22, posted a photo on Instagram August 19th that appears to show Landry inside her van, but is unknown when the photo was actually taken. I'm still kind of blown away by the whole van hotel thing. Why? I don't know. Unless maybe that's what they all agreed to. I don't know. It just seems kind of fucked up. So there you go. He made a little trip home. I don't know what the purpose of that would be. Maybe to, I don't know, get some things out of the storage unit for hiding a body?
Yeah, Mom, can I have some of those homemade chocolate chip cookies and a shovel?
We got duct tape around here?
Dad, remember when we used to watch MacGyver every Tuesday? All right, we got half a jar of chunky peanut butter, some Big Red, a couple twisty ties from the Wonder Bread, and my son. Sure, we should be able to kill a girlfriend.
It's just, yeah. Here's the
thing.
Did
you see that he was reported as we record this here on October 6th? Yesterday, what? October 5th,
what do you
FBI,
got?
What? North Carolina.
No shit.
Deputies confirm reports of Brian Landry sightings in North Carolina. Out of Boone, North Carolina, latest reports are coming out of Haywood County. Haywood County Sheriff's Office says it has investigated all reports, none of which have warranted a follow-up from the FBI. But they are quoted in saying, we have received a number of calls regarding the sighting of Brian Landry over the past several days, each one being investigated thoroughly in areas of concern search, but all to no avail. We will continue to respond and fully investigate all calls for service related to the nationwide search for Mr. Landry. Mr. Landry? Really? You give him that much of a formal? Within our jurisdiction. Meaning, if we see him across the street from the county line, sorry, we can't do anything.
He's not in our jurisdiction. Maybe they'll
Bill,
go have
you're
a-
on break next.
Maybe they'll go take him to a Days Inn or something. Bro, why don't you get a hotel room while we we'll have the FBI come pick you up a little bit later.
And, FBI office in Charlotte says no tip has warranted a follow up from the FBI.
Dog, the bounty hunter's daughter calls Brian Landry Hunt a publicity stunt because I know dogs out there on the case. So I believe it.
Wait a minute. His daughter says it's a publicity stunt that her dad is out trying to find the guy.
She says he needs to back off and let the FBI handle it. Cicely Chapman, 28, told the son of her estranged 68-year-old dad, Dwayne Chapman. Yeah, they're not on good terms. It's just a publicity stunt. That's really what it is, she said of the dog, who adopted her after marrying her mom, Beth, who died in 2019. She questioned how Dog was financing his hunt for Gabby Petito's fugitive boyfriend with noting that he was reported shopping a potential new reality TV show. a real network would be aware of the situation, and I'm pretty sure everyone knows it's a fucking publicity stunt, she insisted, of the one-time reality star whose last planned show was scrapped. Cicely insisted the footage of Dog wandering the swamp waters looked totally staged and laughed off his claims of making a breakthrough in the case. Yeah, I gotta probably say it's all bullshit with Dog the Bounty Hunter. I mean, it's like, what? It does kind of scream of desperation and kind of trying to latch yourself onto a bullshit, not a bullshit case, but your bullshit skills onto a legitimate case.
Oh, 100%. I so much resentment or not so good feelings that his adopted daughter has, but 100%, if your career was made on, I mean, your name is the Bounty Hunter.
Yeah.
So that's kind of in your wheelhouse, and you have something that has been all over social media, that originated on social media, and your career is maybe in a volatile situation. Nothing against the guy personally, but yeah. Abso-freaking-lutely, this is an opportunity to rise to the occasion and to get your 15 minutes of fame back.
Yeah. It looks like Gabby's, or Brian's sister, rather, says his survival skills are mediocre. So that's interesting. My fear on this whole thing is, I mean, this guy is kind of, he looks like a dope. From what we know about him, he seems like a dope. The thing is, if he's out there and he's trying to be in hiding, and if he's trying to survive off the land or something like that, I think he's going to end up dead. And then at that point, we're not going to fucking know what happened. And it's going to end up being very much, an unsolved mystery. I mean, to a certain extent, because we're never going to have the true answer, or anyone that's charged, or anyone that's able to kind of come clean a little bit and share with us something. There may be, you know, years, decades of looking at the case going, was there somebody else? And there'll be a conspiracy theory to go, you know, was it him? Were they being held, hostage? Was there some reason why, you know, he went back out and went missing? You know, there could be a thousand ways that, you know, this could be spun into some weird, horrific, even more horrific story than it already is. But I just hope they find him alive. I honestly don't have a lot of faith that that's going to happen, though.
I think earlier, when there was less ways to receive information, the human brain was more comfortable with allowing something that has no sexy end, that has no whodunit mystery completion. You kind of just moved on with life. We as a society don't allow that to happen. Therefore, to your point, not the brightest crayon in the box. He'll end up just dying somehow. It'll never die. There will be, oh, but then the prior boyfriend or the best friend of Brian's uncle's cousin's mother.
Yeah.
There'll be something stirred up. Then there will be 1/800th of truth to one part of one conspiracy theory, and it will continue to live on. So in a very boring, honest way, I hope that he is found more so to give closure.
Yeah.
And a smorsel of comfort to the family of Gabby, so that there cannot be a never-ending story to this.
Exactly, because if he's not found alive, that shit's going to happen, and that family of Gabby is going to forever, for the rest of their lives, be plagued by every fucking moron in the world that wants to go, did you consider this? Did you consider that? I mean, in the same sort of ways that the victims, the parents of the children from Sandy Hook are plagued by the fucking scum of the earth that go after them and say, it was your child didn't die, it was a false flag, from like the followers of Alex Jones and shit like that. 2 weeks since Gabby Petito revealed to have been the victim of a homicide, famed forensic pathologist Dr. Michael Batten told Fox News the FBI's decision to withhold her remains from her family was very unusual and was the agency's decision not to release the cause of her death when the matter was announced. Tenton County Coroner Dr. Brent Blue found in his initial determination that Petito 22 was a victim of a homicide. The FBI's Denver field office announced on September 21st her body had turned up near Grand Teton National Park in Wyoming September 19th. But the office stopped short of revealing the cause of death pending a final autopsy results. And days went by without the agency releasing her remains to the family, a move that Baden told a news source was very unusual. I think the FBI would be very cautious about things because they don't want to make a mistake, he told Fox News. Whatever reasons they're withholding, it is very unusual. He added, I think that the only reason would be you're concerned that you're missing something and that you should, and it should not be a concern because whatever is needed to investigate the death from the point of view of a medical examiner will be seen, documented, and could be retained. If a pathologist is questioning whether someone suffered from a heart disease, he or she would retain the heart, but you don't retain the whole body, Baden said. In 2021, he went on, where anything of value can be documented, retained, tested a day or two or three, there's no reason to keep the whole body from the family. So it's interesting. I don't know much about medical examination or what's required of it, but I don't know if an expert is saying that's kind of odd. I guess maybe that's kind of odd if someone in that field has an opinion there.
That is interesting that I did not know that the body... I mean, when there's something happened that's so tragic, you never think about the logistics of, okay, when does the family then regain control of their lost loved one? I mean, that's so morbid that we're referencing someone as a UPS package. But alas, that's kind of how it is. And I don't know what more they would find by having it for an extended length of time. I mean, you obviously do what you do as a an autopsy. And then whether somebody dies of natural causes or in a homicide, I would like to think that the medical examiner would be able to find something, whether the suspect has been caught or not, and then the family can, you know, again, that closure that they desperately want.
Yeah. Well, the Petito family made it to Dr. Phil the other day and started kind of having a conversation about the case and what's going on. An ex-FBI agent has suggested Brian Landry is still in contact with his parents via their family lawyer. Would that be legal? Would that be like attorney client privilege if the convict is out there and still making ways of, is that okay?
I would like to think that's a hard no. Sadly, I'm not an attorney. Let me Google.
Asked whether she thought the missing 23-year-old was in touch with his family, Jennifer Confidander told the News Nation Now journalist, yes, although very loosely through the attorney. She, who worked with the FBI for more than 20 years, added, he has attorney-client privilege, there you go, as long as he doesn't do anything in furtherance of the crime. There's your answer. In a separate interview on Dr. Phil McGraw's show, Richard Stafford, the lawyer representing the Petito family, claimed Mr. Landry stole his girlfriend Gabby Petito's credit card and used it after leaving her in Wyoming. The claim came during an interview that also featured Miss Petito's family. Mr. Landry's sister, Cassie Landry, urged her brother to come forward to get us out of this horrible mess. Speaking on ABC News in an exclusive interview aired on Good Morning America, she said, I would tell my brother to just come forward and get us out of this horrible mess. Hiker Dennis Davis, an engineer from Florida, said he believed he had spoken with Mr. Landry on a road near the Appalachian Trail in North Carolina, close to the border with Tennessee. Audio of his 911 call was made public. He said the man he encountered was talking wild about having to get to California to see a girlfriend. The state attorney for Palm Beach County in Florida claimed more serious criminal charges against Miss Petito's missing boyfriend were extremely likely if he's found. David Arberg defended his office for not filing charges against Mr. Landry, saying prosecutors have a higher burden to prove cases beyond any reasonable doubt. Asked by News Nation Now why Mr. Landry hadn't been charged with a more serious crime at this point in the death of his 22-year-old travel blogger girlfriend, which has been ruled a homicide, Mr. Arenberg added, I think that's coming. So that's interesting. Gabby Petito's father, Joseph Petito, called the Landry family cowards during the interview with Dr. Phil on Tuesday. The second part of Dr. Phil's interview with Mr. Petito and the rest of Ms. Petito's parents and step-parents will be airing today, I think, as of this airing, it'll be already out. So I don't know. I mean, a dog, the bounty. Oh, here we go. And then, of course, there's a comment from a dog's. We just talked about dog's daughter saying it's a publicity stunt. So I don't know. I mean, it's interesting. The Petito family's already on Dr. Phil. But you know what? I think if my daughter was missing, I would also be trying to go on any place possible, even if they're doing it for ratings, to get word out and to try and find that motherfucker.
Well, that's the whole thing is yeah. Usually when there is so much Inside Edition, Entertainment Tonight, Dark Side of, talk of something,
yeah.
It has occurred.
Yeah.
Chronologically speaking, it led to this, which led to that, which led to that, and then signed, sealed, and delivered. Or at the very least, in the case of you go all the way back to OJ,
yeah.
It happened, it occurred, they have them, but then the court proceedings are occurring. This is number one in the middle of a cluster of a time of our world with social media and information that is already bad, where there's just way too much in general,
yeah.
Combined with something that is currently happening. I mean, this is a fluid case. The person is so... Absolutely. I mean, there should be zero attention on, oh, they're selling out or they're on this,
no.
Or they're on this, or really the Wendy Williams show. My goodness, you have to have standards, at least Montel or Mopo. But really, yeah. Like if you have a microphone and you have a stick that you can broadcast information to people, yes, we want to be there. And you want to manipulate it however the hell you want to. Good. You do whatever you want, Dr. Phil, if you want me to lay on your leather couch. The bottom line is you're getting information out that there's a person that we think killed our daughter yeah. / friend, sibling. Do as you wish with it, producers, but it's going to get out to the masses.
Yeah, I mean, either way, it's going to be talked about. And I think if I was in that same situation, because I can already hear in my head people going, oh, they're probably making money. They're probably, you know, they're probably not honestly making money, quite honestly. And I'd be doing the exact same shit. You're going to go to the people with the biggest microphone and the loudest microphone, if you will, and you're going to be talking because you're on a goal to get that motherfucker found. And of course, is Dr. Phil making buku bucks on this with ratings? Of course he is. But you know what? They're also getting the information out. It's just kind of what you got to do. The fucking local news makes money on local news too. It's how it works. You'd be searching for the loudest megaphone you can get, and to get the word out, to find the guy that you believe had something to do, or at least has information pertaining to the death of your daughter.
It's just, it's a lot to digest, and it's a lot to digest. And hopefully, again, as time goes on, you just have to hope that there is. This person is found.
What's your prediction on this? We'll call it as of now and see what happens in the coming weeks, months, whatever. Do you think he's going to be found alive?
I think he's going to be pulled over in some type of vehicle, and he'll just be brought into custody and moved to Florida or I don't know, Utah, wherever it would be,
yeah.
And then go through a court proceeding. I believe that will occur because he just gets exhausted from trying to continue to be elusive. I don't believe there'll be any shock and awe. And hopefully investigation is found and he is proven guilty with the evidence. And there you go. But that's super boring. So please tell me what you think is going to happen.
Dead in a hotel room.
Again, if you're looking for a ray of sunshine... The dark side of Tony, please give me motivational thoughts and positive vibes as I start my day with my tea.
I think it's going to be one of those where it's like, well, we were over here at the La Quinta in Pomona and me and my wife were having a romantic stay. We got the bubbly out. We got a little of the Asti Spumante going and we got the room with the deluxe whirlpool. And, you know, we were listening to a little bit of Keith Sweat the other night.
I was just going to put a single in the quarter machine yeah, to, you know,
vibrate
make that
the
little hot tub start.
Yeah. And we did that. And she said to me, you know, are you making, did you order some dinner or something? Because it smells
fish?
A little funky. And then all of a sudden, like, that does smell kind of funky. You know, it reminds me of, it reminds me when I was a kid and my uncle, Larry was staying over.
Shit himself.
And he was back in his drinking days and he would sleep in his room for days on end. We just didn't go in there. And then one day it started smelling. It's like, oh my God, Larry died in that bedroom. But he'd been there for like 4 weeks and the cat ate his face. It smelled just like that. So me and the honey, we hit it a little bit. And then I said, I'm going to go knock on that door next door. I think it's where it smells coming from. Knock, no one came. And then I told somebody at the front desk and they went and checked, like, oh yeah, we had somebody checked in, but they never checked out like 4 weeks ago. They went in there. And, oh my God. Yeah, that's how I think it's going to go. Maybe not the whole people having sex in the room next door and relating it to Uncle Larry. But I think it's going to be something where it's like his body was found in the La Quinta in wherever, of a suicide.
So you don't believe while they're hitting it, they literally hit him?
No.
Because like he's under the mattress.
Oh, like the body's in the room.
And then, you know,
that's usually a new twist.
Tony, I got to be honest with you. Usually the headboard is just a bit too far out of reach, but there was like this lumbar support where, hell, the angle, you know, me and the missus, it was just good. And at first it's like, man, it kind of feels like we're bumping up next to another body. But we just continued for about 22 more minutes.
Oh, my
God. And
then,
shit, took the mattress pad off and son of a bitch.
Brian Landry.
I saw face of that guy on Dr. Phil.
Thank God it was on Dr. Phil, because then they could connect the dots.
And then 15 minutes later, you know, when we did the deed again, we called the front desk and asked for an early morning wake-up call.
I said, when we check out, you can take him away, but I think we're going to go back on top of this guy.
Continental breakfast, I'll have another waffle. Then I will dial 911.
God. It's such a fucking horrible case. All you can do is, you know, God. Yeah. No, but I think in reality, it's going to be something like, not quite like that, but, you know, hotel room smell, he's dead.
No continental breakfast.
Yeah, I don't think it's going to end. I just don't think it's going to end well. I that's my guess. Maybe I'm wrong. We'll find out hopefully we'll find out unless he's never found.
Do you think, as much as we go to the stereotypical Southern accent, that the show that originates from the South, or excuse me,
I am in the South.
Well, let me retract. We are both from the North, from the Midwest.
I do Northern accents all the time, too. I could have done that whole thing in a, oh, yeah, you know.
I was going to say, so, you know, and boy, I just came in, took my boots off, and there was a naked man not alive.
And I said, you know, why don't we eat that fish dinner we got from the church here? Have some of that, and then maybe there's an identification on the man. Maybe we can look him up a little bit and see if we can help out a little bit.
But first, take your tater tot hot dish, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And let's come on over here. We're going to bounce around for a bit in the ball pit.
Oh, yeah.
And then we'll... Yeah. Okay. All right. So, yeah. Essentially, I just want it to be 100% non-judgmental of folks in the South.
Yeah, no.
We're equal opportunity stereotypers.
Completely. Yes. I was just going to say equal opportunity stereotyping. That just happened to be what I grabbed, because I'm guessing it's going to be in the South where they find it. Could be wrong. You know, if it's in the North, then maybe I'm all about. I did a Northern accent the other day on something where it was a similar situation where it's like just random people in a bizarre situation. So, yeah. All right. Well, that's going to wrap up the show for today. See if anything new pops up in there next week as we continue to follow this just heartbreaking story. If you like our program, help keep us on the air. You can check it out at patreon.com. And search for Dark Side Of. Get all the advanced episodes, commercial-free episodes. That's what supports us and allows us to do this program for you every single week. We greatly appreciate it. Press subscribe wherever you download the podcast as well, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, you name it. Press subscribe so you don't miss any updates. Until next time, for Sean, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to The Dark Side Of.